Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, August 19th, 2012.
This morning, as you might have noticed in your bulletin, I want us to consider the three tenses of our salvation, that is, past, present, and future. One thing it's easy, I think, for us to take for granted is just how valuable the possession that we have as Christians, this gift of salvation. How invaluable it is simply to know that you are saved. Faith in Jesus Christ, that gives us eternal life and forgiveness of sins. There is nothing in this life that is more valuable than that possession. And sometimes, especially if you've been saved a long time, sometimes you might forget that. And to help us understand the value, that it's not just something that had value, but that has value, and that has eternal value, I think it's important for us to consider, to remind ourselves of these basic truths, that our salvation has a past aspect, present, and future. And that if we don't constantly remind ourselves of these three tenses, these three aspects of our salvation, we're not going to fully benefit from the benefits of our salvation. There are a lot of people that know they're saved, or at least think that they were saved at one time, but they're not enjoying the fullness of their salvation now, because they don't understand the fullness of what took place in the past. And they also will not enjoy and enter into the fullness of their salvation in eternity in the sense of all that it does provide for us. So it's important that we understand all three aspects. I'm going to give you a very meager illustration to try to help emphasize what I'm trying to get at. That you can't fully benefit from your salvation to its fullest if you don't understand all three aspects. An example that I'll use is this one. Let's say someone gives you a brand new car. No one would be opposed to that, would they? They've signed the title over to you. It's a finished transaction. This is the past tense of this gift of a car. It's done. It's a done deal. The car title's in your name. That's it. It's finished. Then that same person who gave you that car and who has in the past at some point signed the title over to you, it's in your name. This same person says, I'm also going to pay for the daily maintenance. I'm going to pay for your gas. And I'm going to pay for your insurance. Whoa. Now that's a gift. That's a good one. I like that. That's the present tense of your received gift. So it just gets better and better. But now let's say on top of that, this person says, you know, when the warranty on this car goes out, I'm going to give you a brand new one. All right. So that's this gift of this car that has a past, a present, and a future. But if you don't understand and if you don't accept these truths that this person who gave you the gift, if you don't understand all three aspects of it, you're not going to fully benefit. Let's say you've got this car in your garage and it's there, but you're not really sure, you don't really believe it's yours. And so you never take it out of the garage because you're afraid the authorities might take it away from you because you're not sure it's yours. Are you going to benefit? Now, you've got a brand new car. Let's make it a Mercedes. Let's make it a whatever the latest thing is these days. When I was growing up, it was a Mercedes. It's in your car. It's in your garage. Well, isn't that nice? You tell everybody, I got a Mercedes. Then why are you taking the bus to work? Why are you walking everywhere you need to go if you've got this? They're not benefiting from it because they're afraid. They don't understand. They don't believe that it's really in their name. Or maybe, let's say you do think it's yours, but you're afraid to take it out and get it dinged. That's always the big thing when you get a brand new car. The first, you know, several months is, oh no, I hope somebody doesn't bang their door against it. And so you don't take it out of the garage again because you're afraid. But didn't the guy who gave it to you say he'd pay for the insurance? You're covered. It's not a problem. He'll pay for the gas. Oh, I can't afford it. He said he'd pay for the gas. And so if you don't believe it, if you don't understand it, you're still not benefiting from the gift. Then there's the last one. You know, I don't really want to put a lot of miles on the car because then it's going to, you know, it's going to wear out quickly. And, oh, wait a minute. Didn't he say he's going to replace it when you need a new one? So if you don't understand, if you don't believe what he's told you, you're not going to benefit. The same is true with our salvation on a far grander scale, obviously. The ideal response to the gift of that car would be this. Believe it's yours. Take it out. Drive it every day. Use it. Benefit from it. Wherever you need transportation, you take it. You don't worry about it. You have this assurance that when you need a new one, it's going to be there. Now you're benefiting from the gift. When I look at so many Christians, at these basic truths that we're going to look at in Scripture, they don't understand it. They don't believe it. They don't receive it. And so therefore, though they may be genuinely born again, they keep the salvation in the garage. And they're not benefiting from it now, nor will they fully benefit from it in eternity, because they didn't understand what was fully accomplished for them on the cross. Let's begin with the past aspect of our salvation. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read the first two verses. For many of us, these are basic truths. For some, and I believe for some here this morning, there will be things that are stated that have never fully been embraced. And if you're one that struggled with some of these issues that we're going to consider this morning, I want you to put everything out of your mind. I want you to put out your own opinions about what it means to be a Christian, about salvation. I want you to set what you've been taught aside, and I want you to simply hear the Word of God. God has given you a gift. He offers a gift. You may be here this morning and you've never received the gift of salvation. You need to know He offers it to you today. And if you receive it, then you need to understand just how full and complete this salvation really is. Those of us that are saved, we need to embrace it in order that we might fully benefit from it. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified, past tense, having been justified by faith, we have, right now, there's the present, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope, there's the future, of the glory of God. This passage gives us all three. We're going to use it just to establish the past. We have been justified in the past. Not only when we come to accept Jesus as our Savior, for many of us, that is something that took place in the past, our past history. But we're going to find out that our justification is actually a transaction that was finished before the world began. This is something that is done once and for all. And because it is done, because we've been justified in the past, presently today we have peace with God, right now. And in the future we have the hope, the expectation of glory. But you can't enjoy the present or the future to its fullest if you don't already know, I am right with God. That's what justification means. I'm right with my Creator. I stand before Him accepted. Let's go to John 5, verse 24. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, when you acknowledge what God said about His Son Jesus, that He paid the debt of your sin in full on the cross, when you express that faith, it's already a done deal. You are eternally right with God. We sing a song in the Brown Hymnals called My Title Deed. Your name's on the deed. John 5:24, another past verb. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, he who hears my word and believes in me, that's the qualification. That's how you know whether this took place in the past or not. He who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has everlasting life, present tense, and shall not come into judgment, future. Why? But has passed from death into life. It's already happened. I'm not going to have eternal life someday. I have eternal life right now. And that's what the middle of the verse says. Has everlasting life right now. In the future, I don't worry about the judgment of God that's coming, because I've already passed from death into life. What a glorious assurance I have, knowing it's a done deal. Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've been taught or you have thought that, you know, if you do something or say something wrong that's not pleasing to God, that all of a sudden now you've lost your salvation and you stand in fear of the wrath and the judgment of God if you don't repent and get saved again. That teaching and that doctrine and that thinking is found nowhere in Scripture. What is taught in Scripture is that those who have believed in Jesus Christ have already passed from death to life. You never read where those that have passed to life ever pass back into eternal death. It's a one-way ticket. Not because you deserve it. Not because you haven't ever failed. But because the blood of Jesus Christ has paid the debt for every sin that you have not only already committed, but that you will ever commit. You say, how can that be? Because God is God, and His grace is infinite. And that's what He's declared to be true. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. Here we have our forgiveness is past. I stand forgiven this morning, as far as the judgment of the wrath of God is concerned. Now, that doesn't mean if as a child I fail and I sin and I'm not pleasing to God, it doesn't mean that I don't need to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. I do. The Bible teaches that. But not to become His child again, but because I am His child, and that I might enjoy the fullness of the blessings of the house of my Father. That's why I ask forgiveness as a Christian. But as far as the penalty of sin, it's already done. It's already been paid. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you how many trespasses? All trespasses. Having forgiven, already taken care of. Having wiped out, another past tense phrase, the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way. It's already removed. And having nailed it to the cross. Why do you want to take out the nail? You can't. Why would you want to try? It's been nailed to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Saints, we must be settled on this truth. Basic as it is, and it's because it's basic, we need to be settled on it. And yet this is one of the very fundamental, essential truths that many Christians do not receive concerning the gift of salvation. Everything and everyone that was contrary to my eternal well-being has already been thoroughly defeated by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything and everyone that stood between me and the grace of God and forgiveness and life has already been removed. And for it to try to come back and stand between me and God, it has to confront God Himself. Now, what do you think? Is there anyone or anything big enough to overthrow God? No. This is the one who gave me forgiveness of sins. This is the one who gave me eternal life. What joy to understand that I'm eternally saved, that I am established on the finished work of the cross, that the title's mine. Let's read Ephesians 1. I'll just read through this quickly. But as we read this passage about the past aspect of our salvation, this gift of salvation, in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14, notice how many verbs are in the past tense in this passage. All of these blessings that are listed in this passage have already been provided and given to the believer in Jesus Christ. None of these blessings are things that you have to try to earn with God. None of these blessings are things that you have to try to hang on to and maintain, or you're going to lose them. All of these things are finished transactions that God Himself has purposed and accomplished based on His own faithfulness. Not yours, not mine, His. For those who think that you can lose your salvation, you don't realize it. You think it is, you've been taught that it's a humble approach. But it is actually calling God a liar. It is saying, God, what you did by giving your son Jesus Christ, it was good and it was a nice start. But if I'm truly going to make heaven, I'm going to have to get there on my own effort. Saints, do you really want to say that to God? That's blasphemy. That's not humility. But oh, what a joy in knowing that God is faithful and He has finished the transaction of my salvation. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And now he begins to list some of those heavenly, spiritual, eternal blessings. Just as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. God, before Adam's sin, knew what your decision concerning his son would be. From past eternity, the Bible teaches he knew that you would be his. And he gave you from that moment eternal life. Now, we didn't know it. We didn't experience it. It wasn't real in us until we had that individual experience when we accepted Jesus Christ. But God knew already. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined, past tense, us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. That has to do with being given all of the privileges and the rights as God's sons. Past tense, that blessing is yours as a Christian. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I'm already accepted. Don't waste your time trying to make yourself pleasing to God in the sense of trying to win his favor and keep yourself out of hell. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're already accepted eternally. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in all things, to gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained, past tense, an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you were sealed, past tense, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of whose glory? His glory. Saints, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have an inheritance waiting for me. You know why I know that? It has nothing to do with how good I am. It has everything to do with how good God is. He said it's a finished transaction. The title has already been put in my name. That's the past. Rest in it. Stop arguing with God. Accept what God says to be true about his gift to you. It is eternal salvation, and you can never lose it. Now, when you accept that and believe it, now you need to understand that there are present benefits to that gift. Romans 8:32. There are so many Christians that are not today enjoying all that Christ died to give them. They have a home in heaven secured to them. All the blessings that we read there in Ephesians, they're theirs. Nothing will change that. But what about today? What about right now? Is there any benefits today about being saved? For a lot of Christians, and according to their lifestyle, it doesn't seem to be much benefit or much difference between being saved or unsaved. But that's not the will of God. That's not the teaching of Scripture. Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son in the past, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Starting right now, as you stand on the solid foundation of God's past work of saving you by the gift of his son, now we can today confidently expect God to meet our every need, spirit, soul, and body, in order that we might enter into all that Christ died for us, now and for eternity. Too many Christians that I observe, that I've talked to, that I've counseled, they talk about their salvation only in the past tense. Well, I was saved when I was whatever age. I was saved so many years ago. But today, their life is a tragedy. Their life is full of misery and defeat and carnality and the scars of sin. And it breaks my heart because they do not understand it. It's like having the car in the garage, but never taking it out to benefit from it, to take it from place to place, to use it, what you need every day. God didn't save you just to put your salvation away and talk about it in the past tense. You have to understand the past aspect, but now you need to understand there's something present for you today. 2 Peter 1. Our salvation is present and ongoing. And if you're not experiencing that in your life, if you are not an example of that, the Lord needs to stir your heart. You need to allow him to stir your heart. 2 Peter 1, 2-4. Every child of God already has experienced and has an eternal standing in the grace of God. They'll never know the wrath of God. Everyone who's accepted Jesus as their Savior already possesses peace with God. You'll never be the enemy of God ever again because you are eternally his child. But Peter talks about something else here. He talks about grace and peace, but he's talking about being multiplied over and above that mere entrance into heaven. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Know what he's done for you, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's talking about present, right now. We can enjoy life to its fullest by a life of godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You have to know what you have. You have to know that presently salvation is a power that will give you the ability to live a life of godliness, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers right now of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Saints, we are to daily partake of the blessings of our salvation, to live a life of godliness that delivers us daily from the cruel dominance of the practice of sin. To me, this is one of the biggest failures of Christians today, is that we talk about loving God, we talk about being a Christian, we talk about going to heaven, but the lives of the vast majority of God's people is characterized by sin and carnality. They do the very things that God said Jesus Christ died to deliver us from. Not only the penalty of those sins, but the very power of sin. Sin is so cruel. And Satan is such a good salesman. He makes sin look good. He makes it look like it's the only choice to make. But how many times, look at the history of humanity. Look at friends and relatives and neighbors. You don't have to look far to see those that have swallowed the lie of practicing sin. Talking about Christians, it destroys their life. It destroys relationships. It keeps us from enjoying the things that God says He's promised us, those precious promises of joy unspeakable, indescribable joy, peace that passes understanding. The gift of salvation is a precious gift, valuable gift. But saints, it's one that has power in your day-to-day life. Don't leave your salvation in your spiritual garage. You take it out every day and enjoy the benefits. It'll take you from here, from victory to victory to victory. But not if you don't understand. Salvation is for today. It's not just yesterday. Hebrews 10. You do not have to experience the scars of sin. This is always a discussion among saints. There are those that have been delivered from the deepest, darkest holes of sin, drug addiction, immorality, and God wondrously, miraculously delivers them and saves them, and they have such a glorious testimony of the power of God to save them. And that's a wonderful testimony, and if that's your experience, and if that's where you are, that's what the grace of God will do for you. It'll transform your life. It'll deliver you from that darkness. And that's the message that we should share with those that are chained in such darkness of sin. But one thing that I have noticed through the years, there are those that many times are almost jealous of those who have that glorious testimony because they've never been in an alcoholic. They've never been a drug addict. They've never done this. They've never done that. And yet they know that they needed the salvation of the grace of God every bit as much as those that were found in that situation. And many times those that are raised in church, and we have children that are raised here, and there may be a time when you get to a place where you may be tempted to be jealous of someone. Oh, well, I didn't have that experience, and maybe God would be glorified if I would go that route, and then maybe later I can come back. Saints, that's a lie of the enemy. What I want you to know, and I make no apologies for this, I thank God for the grace of God that delivers the drug addict from the pit of sin. But I also thank God for that same grace that will keep you as a child of God. If you've never been there, you never have to go there, because God's grace is sufficient, not because you're so strong, not because you're such a goody two-shoes, but because God's grace is sufficient today to save you from that. But you have to understand the power of salvation in your life today. And I thank God that He can keep us from those things. However God's grace is magnified, we leave that to Him for each individual situation. But saints, may we never apologize for the gift of salvation that has power today. 2 Corinthians 3. Instead of slipping backwards and being trapped in sin and then having to call on God for deliverance from that, which He will if there's genuine repentance. But instead of going backwards, saints, every day we should take this possession of salvation and go further and further into the will and the love of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18. This is what it means to value your salvation, to appreciate its immense worth. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty to do what? Liberty to do the will of God. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being ongoing, present, ongoing, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the present aspect of your salvation. We are to daily, if we truly value our salvation, don't just talk about when you were saved, but are you being transformed from glory to glory right now? Ongoing, because you're allowing the Word of God to transform you. Let's go to Romans 12, where those words are used. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't use the grace of God. Don't use your salvation as an excuse for you to take steps backwards into the slavery of sin. But you value the salvation that will take you every day further and further into the will of God, into the love of God. being transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ, step by step. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. But are you going forward? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, yield. That's a present tense form of the verb. That you yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Again, present tense. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Saints, I thank God for my salvation. And when I say I thank God for my salvation, I'm not just talking about that night as a young child when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. That's a part of what I'm saying. I thank God that I came to that place. But I thank God for my salvation that gives me daily strength to walk in the will of God. That salvation that gives me promises of a life of godliness and victory, that I'm transformed from day to day, glory to glory. Lastly, we'll look at the future tense. The future aspect of our salvation, it's assured of us because of the past work. This is why you can't, I separated them to study them, but you can't separate the past, present, and future. It's not three different salvations. It's all part of the salvation that God has given us. The exact place that we will have in heaven, we know that every child of God will have a place in heaven. We'll have an inheritance. We already saw that's a finished deal. That there's no discussion. God says it's done. So we know that every child of God will have a home in heaven, will have an inheritance. But we understand that depending on how we daily walk in the power of our salvation, that will determine exactly what place we will have in eternity, in the future. Romans 8, verses 23 to 25. Okay, I skipped over Hebrews there. We'll let that one go. But let's go on to Romans 8, verses 23 to 25. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. He's talking about something future. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Paul says clearly, there is something more to come for those that have already been saved. There is the redemption of the body. Now, the redemption is everlasting. It's eternal. It's finished. But there's this future aspect of our redemption and of our salvation. One day we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. And we will be translated to heaven where there will be no sin. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the change that we're looking for. This is why we should not be discouraged as we see these outward bodies perishing. If in that meager illustration of a car, if you knew that when you needed a new car, it was going to be supplied for you, you wouldn't worry every day when you use your car, when you began to see it wearing out. Oh, it would be frustrating as cars can be. It will be difficult sometimes to understand that, you know, this isn't working like it used to. But you're not going to despair, are you? Because you know the one who gave you that one is going to give you another one. Saints, how much more concerning these natural bodies? Yes, I understand that. I'm understanding more than I care to. I remember when my dad was 50. I thought he was ancient. I understand it's difficult as we see these bodies wearing out. But do we truly believe the future promise of our salvation? This is not the end. God has a plan and he wants us to trust him in all of these things. And so it's an ongoing process. There's no quick answers. There's no, you know, this works here, this, do this, do that. It's a matter of faith. Looking to the Lord every day to know, okay, Lord, how do I handle this until the warranty's up, until you exchange this body for a new body. 1 Corinthians 15:51. But because I know it's certain, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to rejoice. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Wanda will have a song here in a minute. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Saints, what a glorious possession our salvation is. It's past, it's present, it's future. The exact place that we will have depends on how much we truly believe these truths, how much we practice them and allow them to work in our lives. I know today that I have eternal life. I stand this morning knowing that I've already been forgiven. I don't wrestle with that one little bit. I'm right with my Creator. I don't have to get right. I am right because He made me right. He justified me. I'm never in jeopardy of wrath. I know that today I can live a life of godliness. I don't have to make excuses for my weaknesses. I know what they are. He knows them better than I do. I don't have to make excuses to live a life of sin and carnality. I know because I'm saved, I can live a life of godliness today. And I can be changed every day more and more like Jesus. And I rejoice this morning knowing that because I'm saved, I can face tomorrow. I don't care what tomorrow holds. I need to be careful when I say that. I do care. I'm not unaffected by it. What I mean to say is that, well, let's use Paul's words. I can't go wrong with Scripture. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Because I know God has a plan. And I know what my end and my destiny is. It's glory. Let's stand this morning. Do we have a song, Phil? Number 308 in the Green Hymn Book. Before we stand and sing, well, let's go ahead and stand if you would. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. I'm going to ask two questions. Well, every head is bowed. If you're here this morning and you don't possess this gift of salvation that I'm talking about, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never asked God to receive this gift that He offers you freely, and you would like to have all the benefits that we've mentioned, past, present, and future, I want you to raise your hand high, and we'd like to pray with you this morning. Is there anyone here that's never asked Jesus into your heart? Just a moment. All right, I'm not seeing any hands. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I am going to ask if there is anyone here that has wrestled with whether or not you can lose your salvation, whether you have to daily earn God's favor to keep from going to hell when you die. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, stop resisting. It may go against everything you've been taught, against everything that you have thought. But God says, but this is my word. This is my gift of salvation. Stop resisting Him and receive and walk in the fullness of His gift of salvation. The rest of us, let's continue to worship God for this precious gift of salvation. The altars are open as we sing number, what was it again, 308? 308, first and the last verse, please.